I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
James Harden, he was amazing last night. I would say, I think it's been clinched for a while now.
Yeah.
But national television, 13-game winning streak, opponent talking mad trash with the Rockets coming in, no layups, this and that. James Harden, 42 points. More importantly, more points than C.J. McCollum and Damian Lillard combined last night from yes. James Harden. He and Chris Paul were great last night. James Harden was next level great. Chris Paul was great in spots. And the Rockets get a big win last night in Portland, 115-111 over the Portland Trailblazers. Welcome in, everybody. The Triple Threat, Sean Pendergast. To my right is Rich Lord.
I can't wait for the MVP montage. I think a couple of those attacks of the basket yesterday definitely will make the montage,
yeah,
along with the crossing over of Wesley Johnson and the tossing aside of Brandon Paul into the stands, yeah, to knock down a three. I mean, there are so many moments piling up this season.
Big step back three at the end of the game last night, too, to help close things out.
Two of them.
He was amazing last night, James.
One double team. That was ridiculous.
Yeah. Across the table from me, Ted Johnson. Hello, Ted.
Look, the Rockets were great. It was an awesome game. I love the effort and what happened at the end. But did you have to let Aminu get 21 points? I mean, that guy had hit six threes last night.
That goes to something Harden just said in that soundbite. We got stops when we needed them. Yeah. They didn't play great defense last night. They gave up a high percentage. They gave up double-digit offensive rebounds. The guy you just mentioned went off. I mean, they weren't at their best for 48 minutes defensively last night, but when they needed to be, they were disruptive.
That's a reoccurring theme.
It is.
And we've talked about this before, and I've described it in ways that maybe it relates to me, is I've gotten stat sheets after games that I've played in. And I've looked at these stat sheets sitting on the bus going to the airport to fly home, and I'm sitting there looking at these stat sheets, and I'm going, how did we win this football game? How did we do it? And you know what? Somehow we always found a way, and that's what good teams do. It's the same thing for the Rockets. Yeah. They just find ways to win.
And knocking down 19 threes never hurt.
That doesn't hurt.
That helps. 19 of 36 from three.
I just like how it's a different guy, Ken, each night that steps up. Gerald Green one night, and then Luke Bamute last night. You know, and then it's Eric Gordon another night. And then Trevor Ariza will drop in 24 one night. It's just somebody different. They always have somebody who's going to go off that night and help the team win.
That's always been the strength of the Patriot teams that we've talked about. They can win in multiple ways. They can win a 2017 game just as easily as they can win a 41-38 game. That's what these Rockets are. The Rockets can go win a 130-123 game or a 115-111 game or go look at their schedule. There's plenty of games that were played in the high 90s with this team.
Yep.
They can go win a game in a bunch of ways. And I've been saying for the last couple months that what separates this Rockets team, obviously, from previous Rockets teams, but what sets this team, the difference between them and a healthy Golden State, because right now Golden State's banged up. If the Rockets were to play Golden State right now in a series, it would be a major disappointment if they didn't beat them as banged up as Golden State is.
A lot of conspiracy theories out there about the validity of those injuries.
But that aside, pretend that they're full strength for a second. This Rockets team is better equipped than they've ever been, and I think better equipped than Golden State is to get stops in the last 2 minutes of a basketball game. Whatever Golden State throws at you, the Rockets have this defensive Swiss Army knife that they've created that can throw something back at them defensively. The athleticism they have on the wings, I think the experience now that they have with it's an older team. And I just think the want to play defense that comes largely to me from the influx of Chris Paul, PJ Tucker, and Bamute, but largely Chris Paul in a leadership position.
It's another one of those areas where they got it. And you know, there have been areas that have been obvious areas of weakness, Achilles heels, if you will. Name me the Achilles heel of this team that occasionally they're so damn good they get a little bored.
You know what the Achilles heel probably is, Rich? Is that if they're thin in the if something were to happen to Clint Capella with team,
I guess, the game changes. I feel pretty good about Nene off the bench.
But not defensively. This team's a different team defensively.
They are,
Capella
but I also feel pretty good about PJ Tucker and Bob Moody. Ute and Ryan Anderson taking minutes at the defensive five spot.
Yeah, but just here and there. You don't want to have to live and die by it. If Clint Capela goes down, we would be screwed.
I mean, I get it, but boy.
Fully healthy, I agree with you.
So your
fully
weakness
healthy.
Is a
potential injury to a key player.
A quickly ascending play. Yes, okay. Okay.
But I'm not saying Capella's a weakness. I'm saying if something were to happen to
Capela. An injury, right. No, I understand that, but I guess I was thinking
depth
more along the lines of what they're capable of doing and not capable of doing.
What about this, for example,
floor?
as a weakness? I mean, you saw last night, was it Nurkic, their center? I mean,
he went off.
He had 21 points, 11 rebounds. He was a matchup nightmare. It didn't matter. It didn't matter who you put on him. I mean, Capela couldn't handle him. Luke Bamute couldn't handle him. Whenever they switched off and James Harden had him, he couldn't handle him. So it's like, I'm sitting here going, it's the math game again,
Sean. It's the math game.
It's
exactly
the math game. And I'm going, you know what? They're isolating Nurkic down there with different guys. The Rockets, they're switching off onto him. And it's dribble, dribble. And then he does his little iso. Yeah, and he finishes. He gets his 2 points, but it's 2 points. And the Rockets go down and drill another three. And it's like, okay. And they were going to him at the end of the game while James Harden's going off on threes and Ariza's hitting timely threes. I'm like, go ahead, guys. Go get your 2 points in there all day. We'll just milk the clock and hit our three when we need to.
In this NBA, it's why a team with a best player, a focal point of a guy like Anthony Davis, is never going to win at a high level, in my opinion. Because you can't go against teams like the Rockets and the Warriors by lobbing the ball into the post and getting 2 points down the floor every single time.
Do you guys agree with me that's if you're looking for like kind of more of a glaring weakness, it's maybe that interior, inside, low post defense when it's iso?
I mean, Capela, maybe like physically, like does Capela match up with guys like that? You know, like
a weakness to be their undoing?
No.
That's what I'm saying. The Achilles heel that can ruin everything.
No,
there's nothing.
There isn't.
That, like I said, it might be that occasionally they're so damn good they get a little bored.
And I don't expect that to be the case once the postseason rolls around.
Me neither.
And frankly, it's hard
you got that right.
It's hard to say that that's been the case in the regular season, especially over the last couple months where they've lost one game.
And aren't we impressed? It was the third game of a three-game road trip.
Yeah.
A tough three-game road trip. Maybe the toughest.
Very difficult. And you know, it looks like, you know, they got the number one seed in the West and maybe the number one overall seed. That might be a little tougher, kind of, you know, locked in. And so, you know, what are you playing for, mate? Well, you're playing to keep that number one seed. I get all that. But they played as if it was a playoff game.
Right. Yeah.
That's what I loved, is that they went into that game and said, you know,
a game they didn't have to have.
That's kind of the point I'm trying to make. Yeah. A game they didn't really have to have. They go in there and beat them. And it's the third time. They've played three times. They're 3-0 against them. That will, if they meet up in the playoffs, that's going to wear on them too. So this team, the Rockets, look like they're poised to handle whatever Portland throws their way.
Always been a firm believer of the who needs it the most theory in pro sports. And it's often the team that needs it the most that gets it. But they just continue to buck that trend.
You know what's funny, Sean Rich, real quick, is to watch the defenders. Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, whatever they were trapping. They're double-teaming James Harden.
And the frustration's palpable.
He's still doing the step back, and you can just see after he makes it, they are like, are you kidding me?
Right, the body language.
They can't believe it.
Yeah. I think
demoralizing.
I think it helped with this game that Portland, quite honestly, as a city, just from the people I follow from Portland, they were circling this game, and the guys on the Portland Trailblazers put a little extra sauce on this game when they were saying things like this before the game. Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum.
Let's see.
Referring to Chris Paul scoring a bucket at the at the end of the game, the last time these two teams played in Houston, that was unless you're a gambler, a largely meaningless bucket at the end of that game. Mm-hmm. And Lillard, for the record, last night 5 of 17, scored 20 points. That pretty much doused his MVP. It was funny when I'm assuming the fans in Portland were chanting MVP for Damian Lillard, unless there was like a Rocky IV thing going on where the Russians were chanting for Rocky at the end of the movie. Maybe they were chanting for James Harden.
And he could be in the top five.
He could be, yeah.
A distant fifth from whatever margin Harden is going to win by.
As I make the patting him on his head, that's cute gesture.
Oh.
It's nice you finish in the top five. And CJ McCollum, 4 of 15. And they didn't make a single three-pointer
last
night.
That was their lowest.
Plenty of layups for James Harden.
Their lowest output that they have had.
Yeah,
the two
nine
of those
32.
Guys all season long.
Yeah,
those two guards.
I heard you guys talking about something before we came on the air. Just real quickly, I taped Craig and Bull on ATT Southwest. I also taped TNT. And I decided to watch the beginning of the telecast on TNT, and I was very sad to see the abomination that is Brent Berry, Nate Robinson, and Derek Fisher courtside describing the action on TNT. I was actually relieved when at 10 to 9 early in the first quarter, I lost the signal because somebody had forgotten to black it out at the beginning of the game.
Oh, is that why it was on? Okay, yeah.
That's what happened.
Okay. I've never, ever seen that happen to me
at
before.
At 10-9 in the first quarter, all of a sudden the graphic came up and said, you are not authorized to do this game.
Well, it was there at the beginning of the game for me, so I was watching Bull, and Craig the whole time.
Craig and Bull, I apologize.
Well, no, that one was on the whole time. TNT was blacked
out. No, I know. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Right. So I had to, I would want to watch Craig and Bull anyway.
Yeah. Exactly.
I already had it on. But I already had it on the other game, that was previous game, the Celtics game.
And the Thunder
game. So that's why I had it on there.
Yep. Yeah. By the way, Rich,
they're not getting layups. Well, they got to the line 29 times, and I'm looking for points in the paint. I'll find it.
38.
Yeah, that's pretty good, isn't it? Yeah,
20 of 29 from the line. By the way, Rich, you were, I think, a little nervous about fatigue and player usage and things like that.
Look, I'm the person who thinks what the worst is that could happen.
I don't say it degradingly. I merely say it as a fact. Yesterday, you were a little verklempt about the possible overusage of players. A
little bit.
Were you happy to only see James Harden get his 42 points in just 33 minutes last night?
Sure. I mean, it was a slight reduction in minutes. He'd been in the 36, 37-minute area for some time.
He ain't going down in the 20s, so you better be happy with 33.
The NBA, the Rockets have the fewest miles run per game than any other NBA team in the league, and it's not even close at 16.1 miles per game.
Mike D'Antoni mentioned after the game last night, he went 10 deep into the bench just because situationally this was a game that kind of called for it, different matchups, things like that. He was really good in the post game last night. He said James Harden is the best scorer he's ever seen. He talked about the chemistry in the locker room, how there's no guys who are bellyaching about if they're a DNP one night and then they're coming out and playing 16, 17 minutes the next night. This is a group that from 1 all the way down to 15 – regardless of what the workload is on a night-to-night basis, these guys are plugged in. They're cheering for their teammates. That might be the rarest part of this whole group as you compare them to the rest of the NBA.
This is the first time that all of those guys on that team have ever felt like they are on a team that's the best in the NBA.
Maybe. Yeah.
That's my guess.
Yep. All right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.